Let us look to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy mercies and Thy goodness toward us, for when we were sinners, undone, deserving hell and the punishment of sin, which is death and hell. In Thy great love for us, Thou hast unconditionally and sacrificially sent forth Thy only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, and You have accepted all that He has done for us as sufficient to wash away all our sins and to remove from our hearts even the guilt of sin and the penalty of sin, which is death and hell, by raising Him from the dead for our justification. And it is in Him and through His blessed and wonderful name that we approach Thee once again tonight. We pray, O God, for Thy Holy Spirit to be our teacher, to grant us illumination and understanding, and grant to all of us hearts of flesh, that the Word of God may fall on very good ground, that our lives will be transformed and changed by the bearing of spiritual fruits, 30-fold, 60-fold, some even 100-fold, in order for us to conform more and more to the image of Thy only begotten Son. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. Bless our time together for Jesus' sake. And may every heart be blessed tonight once again. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Last week, we touched on the topic, know your tongue, for the tongue defiles the whole body. The tongue is the measure of a mature believer, a complete believer. That's what the Bible has taught us. And so the importance of controlling the tongue is critical. It's equivalent to controlling the entire life and witness of the child of God. Control. We live in a world where control is paramount. Anything that is out of control, it's something that we try to stop, such as the pandemic. It's called pandemic because it's afflicting the whole world. And we do not want this to continue because it is something that is very detrimental. Thousands and thousands of lives have been killed because of this virus. And so in order to control it, countries all over the world have practiced lockdown. Singapore called it the circuit breaker, to break the circuit of the spread of COVID-19. Now, we have been trying, and many of us, all of us, have sacrificed tremendously this past 2 over months. Companies, schools, churches, every place has suffered. And the cost, perhaps, can't even be measured or counted. But we and I lose control of our tongue. What does that mean? It is not just losing some dollars and cents, some business. We are talking about the image of Jesus Christ that we carry every time we tell someone that I am a Christian. They wept. They are going to see Christ. The question is, what kind of Christ will we project? If we cannot control our tongue, the Christ that we project will be a Christ that is out of control because of our tongue. Words that will be harmful, hurtful, destructive will continue to flow out of our mouths. How will this impact the image of Jesus Christ? The name of Jesus Christ is the only name under heaven and on this earth that a person can believe in and find salvation. And we all understand how important a name is. A name will conjure a lot of images, characteristics in our hearts, in our mind. We'll have someone who had a terrible experience as a child. And when the name Jesus Christ is mentioned, it conjures up a lot of nightmarish perspective of a Christ that will evoke a lot of anger and hatred in the person's heart. And the person today is in his 70s, perhaps even in his 80s. But he still hates the name of Jesus Christ because of one experience as a child. The tongue controls our witness. We are able to control many things. And so when the Bible speaks of control, let's look at this evening's passage. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. James chapter 3, verse 7. Verse 8. But the tongue can well man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of man, of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. That a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Neither a vine figs? So can no fountain bear yield salt water and fresh. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of His most holy and sacred word. And a believer control his tongue is the theme for tonight. It doesn't seem to be true, isn't it? Because verses 7 and 8 describe man's ability to control so many things. When God created the heavens and the earth, at the end of the sixth day of creation, God gave to mankind dominion, control over the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and all the land animals and creeping things on land. This was because of the grace and mercies and the goodness of God. He created all things, but man alone was the only creature that He created in His own image. And He put all of God's creatures under His control. And that was why when man fell into sin, that's Adam, all creation plunged into sin. And so the result of this sin is death everywhere. Death up in the sky, in the sea, on land, trees, grass, everywhere. We are reminded of the fall of man, because the evidence of the fall of man is death and destruction. And yet, despite the fallenness of man living in his sinful nature, man was still able to control. Of course, after the flood, God for the first time gave man permission to eat flesh, meat, except for blood. And in the New Testament witness of the church, including food offered to idols who are not permitted to eat, all other creatures, birds, animals, fish, all kinds of sea creatures, men would now be given permission by God to eat. And God said, and because I now give you permission to eat them, I will put the fear of man in all of them, in the fish, in the birds, in the land animals. And that's why hunters were created. Before that, you didn't have to hunt. You just call them and they will come to you. That's dominion. But now God put fear of man into all these creatures. And so we have to hunt. If you want to eat an animal, you have to go fishing. If you want to eat a sea creature, and then if you want to eat birds, then you have to catch them, snare them. But despite all of these difficulties, the cleverness of man is seen in verse 7, where God Himself made it very, very clear. For every kind of beast, that would be the land animals, every kind of birds, every kind of serpents, and everything in the sea. All of these, man has been able to tame. That's how clever man has always been. Because they've been made in God's image. They can invent, they can plan, and they can think, outwit, and they were creatures. You want to catch a whale? Man will invent certain things that will help them catch the whale, no matter how huge the creature is compared to the small, tiny little human being. And so man would invent ships And then we will invent harpoons, special design harpoons. And at the end of this period, you have all kinds of invention to make sure that when you fire the harpoon into the whale, it will not come off until the whale is caught or killed. Same for any of the land animals, no matter how fast they can run, man will invent something, either the bow and arrow, spear, and now with rifles and guns and pistols to hunt them. No matter how high the birds would fly, nothing is high enough that man cannot reach and catch and kill and control. That's how gifted and clever man is. Now, this is God's clear admission to describe how clever man is. He's not talking about believers. He's talking about man in general, because this is a picture of what we see in the world in general. Not the world of believers, the world in general. And that's why verse 8 is also about the world in general. And so the Bible basically described for us in verse 7 and verse 8, the tongue of the old man. That's what it is, the tongue of the old man. And what exactly is the nature of the tongue of the old man, of an unbeliever? It's a tongue that no man can tame. Plain and simple. You can control and tame all of the creatures around you. And men even want to try to tame even the weather as best as they possibly could, right? In some cases, especially when you have forest fire, they want to sow seeds in order to get artificial rain. That's how clever man is. And yet God said, but this tiny little organ inside of you, all those creatures, big and small, outside of you, you can take. But why is it that this tiny little muscle that is inside of you, real man can take? It is an unruly unit. It's an inward bad world where I cannot be restrained. Like a mad dog cannot be restrained. You know, well, in any and every direction. Soul of deadly poison. If it is unrestrainable, but if it is not full of deadly poison, it's not that harmful. But when it is full of deadly poison, and this phrase, deadly poison, means that it brings death. That phrase is called deadly poison, seal of deadly poison. It is a poison that brings death. Character assassination is how some of us would put it. It could also include actual death, because there had been whales that were fed because of a careless word here and there. Relationships have been destroyed and killed because of our careless word. And a sort of death. And the worst kind of cause is spiritual death. That's why the word of God has always come under attack. And because of the terrible roots of man, it arrived hundreds and hundreds of pages, if not thousands, undermining the word of God, the perfect word of God, misrepresenting the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, leading ruins, thinking that they are going to heaven until they find out the moment they die, they are found in hell. And they can't get out. They have been deceived. That's why this tongue of ours, and it is rather limited to just the words that come of our mouth, it includes our writings, includes that we put out on the internet. All of these are part and parcel of this unruly evil. And how many lives, how many relationships have been killed, have been put to death because of this? I know of some members, because of unhappiness with the leadership, especially with the pastor of their church, they get very angry and upset because of the discipline. And so they will whisper half-truths to their own buddies and friends to poison their hearts and their minds against the leaders which they once upon a time respected very highly. And these words would poison them for good. so that they will lose their respect for their pastors, which in turn will cause them not to listen to the sermons anymore. And then inevitably, they will try to get rid of the pastor or the leaders. And if they could not do that, they themselves would need the church. It doesn't matter when if their church is the only church that is sound or biblical in their town or in their city. They just simply do not care. They are so full of venom and hatred and bound in their heart to destroy. They can't control it. I do not want to control it. And we're not talking about just simply the unbelievers, because believers are also prone to an unruly tongue. And the worst part is, we damage the image of Jesus Christ in our own witness, and because we spread it to fellow believers, and they believe what we say, we also hurt the image of Jesus Christ that they bear. And that's why the warning in verse 1 of chapter 3, be ye not many teachers, and it includes counselors, private conversation, whatever it is that you try to tell someone, greater will be in your condemnation. Because you destroy so many things because of the carelessness of our word. It is said that an average person, male or female, speak about 20,000 words a day. Out of these 20,000 words, how many of these words would be considered blessing, encouragement, building up the faith, building up the person in the things of God, pointing a sinner to the Savior? It should be, for the believer, 100%. 100%. But sadly, verses 9 and 10 describe a disobedient believer. Verses 7 and 8 describe an unbeliever. That's why no man can tame that unruly tongue. And that tongue, the Bible describes, is full of deadly poison that will lead to death. But more painful and sorrowful would be verses 9 and 10. There is, bless me God, James included himself, and that's how we know the transition shifted from a description of the tongue of an unbeliever, that's the tongue of the old man, to the tongue of the new man. But this is a disobedient new man, believer. And so he says, therewith bless me God. One moment, we praise the Lord with this same mouth and same tongue. We lift up his precious and wonderful name. We sing hymns of praise and thanksgiving in honor of the goodness and the greatness of God and Christ Jesus our Lord, even the Father. And then the next moment, with the same mouth and the same tongue, we curse men. We curse men. And God said, they are made in the image of God. How is it different from cursing God? Do you not see the image of your Heavenly Father in them? Hard to sometimes, but the carelessness of our tongue will judge us and condemn us. You don't have to look somewhere else. There are some words to point at you. If we are true to our own heart, to our own soul, our own heart will condemn us. I have to admit that I struggle with this, to control my tongue, especially when I'm very. I have to apologize to my children in particular, because I know that when they were growing up, they sat in the car that I drove, and I have to admit that if I had been able to control my tongue, that lack of control that I demonstrated and impacted them for years every time I picked them up and sent them to school in the morning and picked them up in the afternoon, especially in primary school. And when I was in a rush, in a hurry, and the children cannot be late for school, but sometimes we are not early enough And so it was a mad dash from home to school. And when you are Russian, that is the worst recipe for safe driving. You weave in and out, and when the traffic light is not cooperative, words will come out of your mouth, and then you will say things that you know it is not Christian about that traffic lights. And then when a car in front is not driving fast enough, many words will flow out. Not very Christian words. And the person doesn't want to hear what you are saying. And to make sure that the person hears, you use the horn. You flash your harpoon. To tell the person that I'm unhappy with your driving. We're slow, move down. Don't you know that I'm in a hurry? Of course he doesn't. He's not on me. He said, I want him never in a hurry. It is my fault that we did not leave home early enough so that I do not need to have this anxiety in my driving. This mad rush to make sure that they will get to school on time or else they will be penalized. And I don't want them to be penalized. And so, bad driving became the norm. One day turned to 1 week, 1 week turns to a month, 1 word turned to 10 words. How will this not impact and affect my own children's driving? It's my fault. I have to admit it. Because how will speak, what will say, will inevitably impact the people around us, especially the young ones, our children. Why do you think children speak like their parents, especially dad speaks like father, daughter speaks like mother? We want to know how we pray at home. Ask the Sunday school children to stand up and pray before the class begins. Ask the Sunday school child to give thanks before they eat. And then you will know how mom and dad will give thanks at home. They imitate. That's the way they learn. They imitate. And imitation is the way that many of us continue to learn too. I remember someone shared with us how their husband, out of frustration, said, inward, driver was an inward, because where we live, the driver was very, very hasty in his driving, and he kind of bad to hear the screeching sound in his neighborhood because they were speeding. And so when they're speeding, we tell to turn the corner, the screeching sound will occur. The whole neighborhood will hear. And so this man uttered that word, not murmuring, but his temper child, the daughter, I think it's a daughter, was there until one day when they were driving together. And then this screeching sound appeared. And then lo and behold, the toddler uttered the words, Dad, the idiot driver. I don't think the child understands the meaning of the word idiot. But because it was uttered by Papa. Well, with Papa said, why can't I? When Papa was very loud and harsh and rude at home when he speaks, you can also see the same characteristics, loud and rough and harsh, in the son imitating the father most of the time, the daughter imitating the mother most of the time. Of course, you can also flip-flop. Daughter imitating father, son imitating mother. Depends on who spend more time with them and who the one to imitate and more. Good and bad. But sadly, tragically, because we struggle to control our tongue, very often you'll be more bad than good. And so the tongue of the disobedient believer is exposed to tell us, how could this be? One moment we bless God, and next moment we curse man. Isn't that what we do when we go to church in the morning? In the past, anywhere to church, we don't sound very good. The moment we go into the sanctuary, the moment we start to sing the Lord in His holy temple, same mouth. Do you find that it is something that is grossly inconsistent? Something that is unseemly, that is unbecoming? Probably not. And that's why God had to use James to highlight it for us, to tell us, how could that be? And so next time we do it, and when it happened, we can sing all those wonderful hymns in perfect pitch, in perfect harmony. But on Monday to Saturday, especially like in Ustabia, like when we're driving, somehow it's like a Jekyll and Hyde kind of a experience that I try my best even today in my 60s, trying to overcome. Maybe better now. Give myself an earlier departure from home to destination. And once there is no rush, no need for anxious driving. And anxious driving will also lead to a unruly tongue, forgetting that it is still full of deadly poison. And the people around us will be poisoned the most. And sadly and tragically, the impact on the result will be seen later. And once it is seen, it is too late to get rid of it because it is so hard, so difficult. Just as you are struggling, the people around us, especially our own children, will be struggling too. They need not be burdened with that kind of struggle. They have enough struggles without us adding to that list by our unruly tongue. So the next time that we are driving, be careful of anxious driving that will lead us to sin with our tongue, forgetting the people around us, but above all else, most important of all, the name of Jesus Christ. Because even when we're driving alone, that does not give us the license to lose our tongue, our control, because you cannot control it. Even while we're alone, guaranteeing you're not going to control it when you're not alone. Control it whether you're alone are not alone. It does not matter. The most important thing is the tongue. Bite it. I have a bad habit when people do not signal when they change lane or when they turn left or right. It irks me. So sometimes I'm going to tell myself, I am not an unregistered traffic police. I am not a self-appointed traffic police. So leave that person alone. If he doesn't want to signal when he turns left or right, it is not nice for me to honk the person to remind him. Because if I honk the person doesn't know unless I honk in such a manner whereby, oh, I don't know if we've been turning a signal. We didn't sit on the signal when we turn. You just hear a honk. The honk is in the ear. You forgot to turn the signal. You could see a hand as something else, interpret as something else. And then I spark into some kind of real rage, even worse. Now the hand is just a sound. It doesn't send the message that is in your head. If only it does, there's no telepathy. I own telepathically, you're supposed to receive the message. Hey, I'm a friend, you did not signal. It was a red memory, and yet, why did I do it? Unruly. Unruly. So struggle. And so, tongue of a disobedient believer. That's verses 9 and 10. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. I agree. Amen, Lord. These things ought not so to be. But a child of God. Why? Because we are not like verses 7 and 8. The tongue, no man. That's correct. But we are not just any man. We are children of God. That's why the Bible tells us, console us, encourage us, beseech us. These things ought not so to be, my brethren. It's one thing to struggle, a most important thing. It's another thing that our tongue is unruly. And we don't bother about it. We try to justify it. And when you and I try to justify and make excuses for it, beware. We're not going to control it. We're not going to try our best and pray and ask God to help us to control it. And when that happens, it might be too late. Because the lives of people around us and the witness of Christ will continue to be jeopardized. And we will remain as babes in Christ, immature believer. Because remember, the measure of a believer is his ability to control his tongue. That is the measure of a perfect man. Verse 1 and verse 2 of James chapter 3. Remember that. Do you want to be a mature believer? When you look at yourself in the mirror, it's not just simply how long you have been a Christian. That does not automatically make you a mature believer. And the evidence of a mature believer is the ability, with the help of the Spirit of God in our hearts, to control our tongue. Which time of the day do you find it most difficult to control your tongue? For me, it is when I am behind a wheel of a car. And so for myself, not only must I pray and ask God for help, I take the practical steps as well, and that is to give myself more time, enough time, with a buffer, a proper, sufficient buffer, so that I will not be late for my appointment. Because I don't like to be late. It's not good to be late. And so give myself buffer. And so when I have buffer, immediately I am not an impatient driver. I'm not in a hurry. I will drive carefully, defensively, safely, giving way to people if they want to overtake and then come into my lane. But if I'm in a rush, I will let cars come into my lane, and they try to cut into my lane. I get upset and angry, and I will hand them and speed up if they try to signal and change lane. Because I'm in a hurry. I don't want red cars in front of me, but if I'm not in a hurry, not a problem. You want to change lane? By all means, carry on. I will slow down and I will signal that you carry on. Of course I pray and ask the Lord to help me. Because I don't want to stumble the people in the car. I do not want to shame the name of Christ. I don't want to stumble my wife or anyone. That's why the Bible says these things ought not so to be. It's urging us. It's beseeching us. Would you? Would you listen? Would you obey? And so God says in verse 11 and verse 12, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Verse 11 talks about the source. Do we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? That is why we know that a believer can control his tongue. God has given us the strength and the conviction to control our tongue. Of course, not perfectly. Just like every aspect of our lives, it's not meant to be perfect, but it's meant to be holy. So, but when we made a mistake, when we have careless with our tongue, with our words, we should apologize. We should say sorry to that person who is in our car. And then when you let slip, straight away apologize. Don't try to find excuses. Don't be defensive. Apologize. That's the only way to fix it. And that is always the beginning of correction and improvement. When we keep on justifying and keep on making excuses for ourselves, there will be no improvement and we will continue to be bad. And from bad, it will be worse, and then it will be worse. The slippery slope is real. And that is why we have to realize that this is a weakness. Some may be at home. When you see your own children, when you see your spouse, somehow or other, it triggers some kind of reaction whereby you just would say things that are nasty. Why? Or as a colleague in your workplace, somehow you have to know which are the areas of your life whereby the tongue of yours continue to struggle and get out of control. Because the Lord says, what kind of source do you have? What kind of heart do you have? Okay, there's a fountain sent forth at the same time, sweet water and bitter? Impossible. Impossible. No. It's either sweet very delicious and drinkable, or bitter, poisonous, and drinkable. You cannot have both. They cannot coexist. Just like we were truly born again, God is now telling us, you cannot let your tongue, one moment praising the name, blessing the Lord in your prayer, in your worship, and then the next moment you use it to curse. You let it run amok. You let it run out of control. And the words just simply flew out without thinking. And they hurt. They destroy. It is full of deadly poison. Poison that will lead to the death of relationships and sometimes even life. We are believers. God has given to us a new heart. That's where God has started its transformation. It's from within. And that's why verse 11 tells us it's from within us. What must stem from within our hearts are words that will build up like some refreshing water to a thirsty soul. This is a common description of every believer. Verse 12, the focus is now the evidence, external bearing fruits. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Impossible, because a fig tree is supposed to give forth figs. That's the characteristic of a fig tree. That's why you call it a fig tree. The tree will look like a fig tree. The branches, the trunk, everything will look like a fig tree. And so when the fig tree bears fruits, it's not going to come out. Berries are not going to come out. Figs. A vine, grapes, not fig. They may look like figs, snare, but they are grapes. You can't even call them figs because it's a vine. Grapes would come out of a vine, and that's why we call it a vine. You don't carry the fig tree, even though the grapes and the fig may look the same, but different color. Well, of course, green grapes and green figs may be the same color. The evidence. You are a Christian. And therefore, Christ-likeness, Christ-centered characteristics should be exhibited, should come forth, should be seen, should be visible. Because inside we have the Spirit of Christ. And therefore, the fruit of the Spirit, the behavior, the action, and the words reflect that. Holiness. The best road to maintain holiness is a readiness to apologize. But very often our pride stands in the way. And so the Lord says, you also have been given the mind of Christ, have you not, which is one of humility. Whatever pedestal that we put ourselves up on top, come down. Because no matter how high you think you are, you will never be higher than Christ who came down from heaven. You might come down from the top of your company, but that's not heaven. You might come down from your presidential seat, but that's not heaven. And if you truly say that Jesus Christ is the Lord and your Savior, he's for you to follow. And so he gave the disciple a lesson that they will never forget. On his last supper with them, he washed the disciples' feet. That belonged to the most abject slave in every Jewish home. The worst, the lowest of all the slaves who do that, washing the feet of the guests who come and visit the master's home. The chief steward would not do it. All the slaves of higher ranking would not do it. This belonged to the lowest slave. And Jesus says, I am the lowest slave among all of you. And I'm going to wash your feet. We all want our feet to be washed by others. But Jesus says, no. You wash their feet. And therefore, if they refuse to apologize, you apologize first. Why? Because your Lord did so. But he doesn't deserve. No, your Lord did so. Not whether he deserved it or not. That's not the basis for you apologizing. The basis for our swallowing our pride, especially when our words hurt our sister, our brother, our mom, our dad, our friend, even our enemies. It is the right thing to do as a Christian, a spiritual fruit bearing evidence, apologize. Truly, sincerely, I am sorry. Is that so hard? A truly born-again believer with the Holy Spirit inside and with the mind of Christ, he will definitely bear that kind of Christ-like conduct and behavior and words. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. To drive home the importance of the inward man. Verse 11, sweet water or bitter. Verse 12b, no fountain both yields salt water and fresh. The water that comes out, if it is fresh, the source is fresh. If it comes out salty, the source is salty. They are consistent. And so God says, as a child of God, right here and now, not when you arrive home in glory, right here and now, the moment Jesus Christ cleansed you and washed you by the blood, you are now a child of God with a new nature, a Christ-like mind. Prove it that this says is truly Christ-like, where the Spirit and God dwells forever. And let it be heard. Let it be seen by the evidence of a tongue under control. All believers can, because you are no longer an ordinary man. You are now a child of God. Control your tongue. When you slip, when you surrender, apologize. So next time, if you are like me struggling when you are driving, bite your tongue. Give yourself more time. Beware of anxiety, rush. So give yourself more time. Calculate. If you take 15, 20 minutes to get to a destination, leave them at least 30 minutes. If not, if you know there is rush hour, 35 minutes. Double the time so that you have a buffer of 20 minutes. So that when you drive, when you head to your office or to your destination, you drive patiently. There is no need to be hasty. There is no need to rush. This is a practical help. But more important and most important of all, the Spirit of God will help you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will be sufficient for you to control your tongue. Pray before you depart. If behind the wheel of a vehicle is your challenge and your struggle, like me, I remember there was a time when we were ministering in Perth. We were there for about 3-4 weeks. Over about 4 Sundays or 5 Sundays. We didn't have to drive. And even when we did, it was very sparingly. It was a completely different mood and culture over there. Everyone was slow. Everyone was patient. Whenever you signal to change lane, almost every single vehicle will slow down and let you filter and change. You hardly could hear any use of the horn. And whatever they do, it is because they want to signal to their friend. Hello, hello, friend. Honk. It's a very nice kind of a honk. The other person will wave and then they will smile. Not our kind of honk. And then at the end of the experience, when I came back, I got behind a car. That mood of slow driving of the Perth characteristic was with me for only half a day. After that, it was gone. Back to the Singaporean, the anxious kind of driving. Hi. I never forgot that experience. Because after that Perth experience, and I came back, I felt so nice. Drive slowly, patiently, so nice. But it didn't last. Within a short while, half a day, it was back to the anxious driving. And so sometimes I even mock and make fun, because the pastor from Perth who came over and I went to the airport to pick him up, or I went to his hotel to pick him up. And so I warned him in advance. I got many friends in Singapore. Let him know in advance. I made a joke out of it. So when I was driving him, And I used to hop. That's my friend. It was not my friend, of course. Control. Struggle. Big fan. Because the Lord will help us. You don't struggle alone. Can a believer control his tongue? Yes. The question is, do you want to? Not a matter of I cannot. It's a question of I will not. But we must. God says, you have been a believer for some time. Will you not be a mature believer? Not the amount of knowledge, but the simple ability to control our tongue. The tongue of the old man described for us unruly, full of deadly poison. The tongue of a disobedient believer exposed, verses 9 and 10. And the tongue of an obedient believer encouraged. And this is the Lord's encouragement to all of us tonight. And may God help us as we begin immediately to control our tongue tonight. From tonight onwards, and let it continue tomorrow morning, especially if you're like me, behind the wheel of a vehicle, as you go to work, as you go to school, whatever it is, pray, but also give yourself some practical, concrete, wise action. Give yourself ample time. Don't leave at the last minute. Ample time. And immediately, anxiety evaporates. You don't have to rush. You are not late. You be patient, and therefore, it will help you to control your tongue. Now, this is what I am trying to do. Sometimes I succeed. Sadly, I have to admit, sometimes I do not succeed. But I will not stop trying, because it is important, very important. All the different aspects. Control my tongue. During a session meeting, Board of Elders meeting, behind the pulpit, when I speak to my wife, when I speak to my children, when I speak to my friends, when I pick up the phone, and when I drive. May God help all of us in this weakness that is very common in the world, but only Christians alone have the strength from the Lord to control their tongue. Will you? God says, you must. For Jesus' sake, let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee, for truly Thou art the Most High God, the God who is ever loving, ever gracious, ever patient, and ever long-suffering in dealing with all of us. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. It is not how long we have been a Christian or how much of the Word of God that we know that You would call us a mature believer, but simply our ability to control our tongue. Help us, O Lord, to be honest with our own soul, to see how we may control our tongue in all the different aspects of our day. We pray, Father, for strength. Help us to stop stumbling people by the careless use of our tongue. Truly it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And yet, O Lord, as Thy better children, You have given to us the indwelling of the Spirit of God, where it is no longer supposed to be an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. But it is a tongue that we can use to praise Thee, to worship Thee, to pray to Thee, and to speak words of encouragement, to provoke brothers and sisters in Christ unto love and to good works. Forgive us, O Lord, for the many times that we have been careless and for our failure because of pride to apologize, to say sorry. Help us always to be ready to humble ourselves whenever we have been careless with our words. For we know that many relationships have been hurt and some might even have died because of our careless tongue. We pray, Father, that the readiness to apologize will be the balm, the healing factor when we are callous with our words. Help us, O Lord, as Thy blood-bought children, to always be ready to apologize that we are not able to control our tongue. We know, Lord, that we can't do so perfectly and constantly and all the time. And yet, Lord, you know our hearts. We want to, we desire to so much. Grant us the strength, the patience, never to give up. Keep on, upward and onward, striving to control this tongue of ours. And with thy help, we know that we can succeed. Little by little, day by day, may thy Holy Spirit speak to our hearts and bring much conviction to our soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving us and for giving us the strength from thy word and from the Holy Spirit that we can control our tongue in order to be a holy and a godly witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us. Hear us for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.